Hello and welcome into another edition of the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside colleague Ray Brewer. And we have some good news, everybody, in case you did. The Rebels won! They won a legitimate Mountain West game. It wasn't against San Jose State or anything. Rebels at home on Saturday. I have never seen a fan base so excited to defeat Utah State. But boy, did UNLV need that. It took till overtime. And the deciding points on one of the worst end of game fouls that you'll ever see. Just a boneheaded play from a kid, David Collette. Kid, he's a man. He went on 2-year LDS mission and then redshirted for a year. So for a freshman, very old and very good. Had a fantastic game up until just a complete brain fart at the end. He fouls Cody Doolin. Which sends Doolin to the line for two free throws with just about 2 seconds left on the clock. Doolin makes both, even though he was trying to miss the second, and UNLV wins by two in overtime. There it is, Ray. They won. Finally, not only just a win, but a close game. Went down to the wire, did a lot of the small things throughout the game. Needed a lot of help still, though, obviously. That foul, and then
just to get the overtime.
The quote shot that sent them to overtime. I've seen replays of Pat McCaw's floater from outside the lane, like 12 feet away. I am still convinced that it was an alley-oop attempt.
It went in, though.
It went in, which is the most important part.
UNLV, the two things stand out for me from this game is, one, I know a lot of people out there, the critics of the current team, and the coaches say that the players don't play hard for the coaches, which I think obviously is an unfair assessment considering they played hard to get the game to overtime and to win the game in overtime. They were down by, what, 3 or 4 in overtime?
Six
in overtime and found a way to win. And the season has just been full of close games where UNLV hasn't been able to prevail. And I'm not a what-if guy. Not my MO, but you always think, well, what if they would have, you know, pulled it out at Wyoming, or what if they would have beaten New Mexico, a game that was earlier in the week that I'm sure we're going to talk about, where basically one motivated player for the other team beat UNLV.
No, UNLV beat UNLV.
Oh, okay. All right, I was wrong on that.
In my opinion, Hugh Greenwood had a good game. They also really didn't guard him.
He had his first dunk since his freshman year.
Yeah, on a wide – obviously, why was he able to attempt that? It was wide open. They had so many turnovers, gave away so many possessions. UNLV deserved to lose that game.
Yeah, I just – for some reason, when you're sitting there – and I've covered so many games. I've been to like 90% of home games at the Thomas and Mack since it's open. You know, kid growing up, UNLV student, journalist. And for some reason, whenever a game is like a coin flip with like 8 minutes to go, UNLV always wins in my mind. But that really hasn't been the case this year.
No.
It's been the total opposite way. And I just was you know, finally they got it against Utah State. Now, do they build off it? Can they go beat the powers of Reno this week?
Best team in the state lately.
Yeah, that's right, state champs. And, you know, I mean, Reno will be up for the game. They're, A, confident that they could beat UNLV. B, we know the game means a lot to its fan base. And UNLV's going to have its hands full. I mean, I would think UNLV's going to be a 2-point favorite going into that game.
I was just going to ask you kind of what you thought the line was. Someone asked me yesterday. I said probably UNLV 2.5. So we're clearly thinking along the same lines there. Man, Reno has just been – they've been awful since beating UNLV.
It was like their season was made with one game, and they just totally mailed it in.
Well, it's actually just that they're not any good. So not good teams lose games. That doesn't mean you lose by 56.
Is UNLV good?
No, not really.
Okay. They're not good.
They have more potential. They could be. But look at history. Let's look at the games they've played. Especially lately, no, they're not very good.
Okay.
Because they can't win at the end. They're lucky in a lot of these situations even to get to that situation. You know, to get it close at Boise State, a game they didn't deserve to win, to still be close against New Mexico, a not particularly good team. But guess what? Like you said, Greenwood goes off, and UNLV does a lot of standing around on offense, turns it over a bunch. That's not those are not indications of a good team.
Yeah, I don't get the X's and O's of offense as good as you do, but against New Mexico, man, I totally saw the standing around. Four guys.
There was a bunch of it against Utah State too. Like
four
that's just
guys
who they
around
are.
The perimeter. Who's going to take the three?
Yep. ISO.
Here's the thing I can't figure out. We're in a day. Tell me what. What do they call the four? The four. What's everybody want to be now?
Like the combo forward. So I mean, you have
what's it called? The what,
stretch four.
A stretch. What is a stretch four? Tell me what a stretch four is.
It's a big person who can shoot.
But does that person
that's
have
the idea?
But does that person have the ability to go near the basket at all?
They should.
See, maybe I'm old fashioned. I like the days of like arm on the hammer Gilliam at the four, who was able to like go inside and score majority of his points near the basket.
Yeah.
A guy who was a double double candidate every night. A guy who took pride in playing defense on the block. I get it. Everybody wants to be Kevin Durant.
Well, one person wants to be Kevin Durant.
Okay, I get it. One person. What's wrong with having the power forward be near the basket? Is that total? I mean, do other schools use that position?
You had that in Savon Goodman, and you had that in Jamal Ates, and both of them are no longer with the program for various reasons. That's ideally, that's kind of what Dwayne Morgan is like. And all of these guys I'm talking about are, like, undersized.
Yeah, but I think
fours.
Ben Carter is the closest
except
thing.
Except that he wants to shoot.
Well,
he's going to be – look, Ben Carter and Jerome Seegers are being put on such a freaking pedestal this year just because they can't play.
Yeah.
And the team is struggling.
Ben Carter –
10 games in next season, you're going to hear complaints about them, too.
Well, Ben Carter's a foul waiting to happen. He led the world in fouls at Oregon. So don't expect long stretches from
his his fouls like per 40 minutes aren't nearly as bad as you're making them sound.
Because
you've used this line before.
Have you looked it up?
So I've looked it up.
Oh, well, maybe it just seems that way.
It's definitely better than Dwayne Morgan right now.
Well, yeah.
Who, you know, jumping back to the New Mexico game for a second. Good luck, Okonobo was out. So a big spot potentially for Dwayne Morgan could come in, start, you know, really – Try and build on something. He has been more aggressive offensively. It seems like a big game could be coming at any time. And then, you know, first half, 11 minutes, no points, no rebounds, three fouls.
Yeah. Yep. You know, and sometimes when he shoots the ball, I'm like, boy,
still takes terrible shots.
Yeah, that's what I was, yeah.
Against Utah State, like contested long jumpers.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm thinking the other team is like, yeah. Way to go. Great job. That's exactly
that's a shot. That's
we've baited you into taking an 18-footer that you're not even squared up to take.
Yes. I agree with that entirely. Anytime he pulls up, or not anytime, that's not fair. Most of the time he pulls up this year. It's for shots that the opponent wants him to take.
But I will tell you this. When he takes the ball to the basket, I'm like, okay. When Chris Wood takes the ball to the basket, okay.
I like both those things. Man, how about Chris Wood in overtime? There was one, I think it was like a steal, and so they were trying to get out in transition. And he goes from under the basket on defense, sprints. I saw it with my own eyes. He ran really fast and got rewarded with a transition dunk. Film room on Sunday should have been that play on loop for 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
More of that. That is great.
Yeah. I just like last night I watched the Lakers-Houston game. They combined for like 63 point attempts. And I'm just like, what happened to the day of trying to work from the inside out? Right? Am I not evolving with the game?
Like dressed kind of like sweater games. Like you're ready to go outside and tell people to get off your lawn.
Yeah, no, I just don't understand. Like, why in basketball don't we feed the big man? Get the big fella involved first?
Well, the big fella's got to go down low.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Speaking of Wood, and for Okonobo, so he's still dealing with plantar fasciitis in his right foot. He played 20 minutes the other night. He definitely helped defensively, just being able to be out there. But he was clearly limping around. He's
one
limited.
One block against New Mexico.
He didn't play against New Mexico.
No,
oh,
UNLV.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
One block.
Well, yeah, they were shooting outside over the zone. Well, oh, over that when they ran it. And then they switched to man at baffling times. The defensive things that UNLV has done, too, just not good enough a lot of times. They ended up Utah State, actually, the final 5 minutes of regulation is some that I was kind of keeping an eye on because for the preview I had shown just the way that even when UNLV's been playing good defense for the game, lately it has just fallen apart at the end of the game. And it did, they did pretty well at the end against Utah State. Still had to a really dumb foul that I think probably was actually a foul on Chris Wood when Jalen Moore was attempting a three-pointer, and then turnabout's fair play. Two possessions later, UNLV gets a very similar call. Jordan Cornish was just chucking, basically, because they were down 5:44 seconds left. They just need to get some points. Gets fouled, makes all three. That was huge.
I really like that kid, by the way.
He's getting better.
Yeah, I mean, just you could tell where he's a guy that, yeah, I mean, you said it, he's getting better. He's a guy that I think in 2 years might be.
Yeah, he coming in always was, you know, kind of the definition of that program guy that everybody's been saying that they need more of. So if he actually stays around, then I do think there is great potential
what
there.
What position does he play?
He's a guard, shooting guard.
Shooting guard?
Yeah.
And number two?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you can have him as a three, you know, and I think he's even played four when they've been forced to go to really small lineups.
It's just all these terminologies, stretch four, wings, program guy.
Yeah, wing's a three.
Wing's
basically,
a three.
In general.
Wing, yeah. Wing F, WF, wing forward.
Yeah. I mean,
a WG, wing guard.
A lot of coaches will tell you, and I think Dave and his staff are among them, that the, you know, putting labels on each individual thing isn't as important anymore. I mean, just look at, you know, one of the best players this year, Pat McCaw, is just like everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not telling these guys, okay, you're in, and you're only going to play the four here. You're only going to play the three. Like there's
it's
a lot
like
of
it's kind of like LeBron.
Around.
He could play multiple positions.
Yes, Pat McCaw is exactly like LeBron.
No,
I like where your head's at. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. So big game this week at Reno. Wouldn't it be great if they just went up there and won by 20?
Yeah, sure. I don't care.
Just totally got rid of that whole.
I mean, it looks like you're really trying to talk yourself into it.
I think I'm gonna play.
By the way, it looks like they've opened up as 4-point favorites. UNLV.
God, the sports books are so good. What a great number that is. That's a great number.
Why is that a great number?
2.5. I would take UNLV, and now I'm like, they got to win by 5. You know,
still haven't won a true road game on the. Or yeah, true road.
Are
game.
They leaving today or tomorrow?
Today, this evening.
Taking an airplane.
Yeah.
Okay. You never know.
They're not driving.
I never know. Okay. Oh. Okay, yeah, good.
What?
I got something good to tell you later.
Later? Offline. Okay, yeah. Offline. So now you tease everyone who is listening with this great story that I'll let you all know if it turns out to be a great story or not. You want to talk about your boy Tony quick?
Yeah, they've been recruiting.
A lot of recruits in town the past couple of weekends. I think coming up more this weekend.
Wow, yeah, there's one more weekend.
Yep, but I saw him at the game. And, you know, just kind of had a group, I don't know, about a dozen or so kids and got a couple of commits out of it. You know, just kind of what are your impressions so far with not only, I mean, the volume is something because after, you know, seeing how basically it's not until signing day that they have anybody. But just the specific kids that they're getting kind of based on maybe what you thought caliber-wise, star-wise, just where do you think they're at with what you expected?
You know, I think they've got a really good balance of guys who are a little more celebrated than what we're used to seeing, and then guys who are going to need to develop into players or who they think could develop into players. For example, last night they got a kid from Hawaii who was a three-star prospect who was committed to Hawaii. You know, Hawaii obviously the probably the worst team in the Mountain West. And so I don't know if it's that much of a steal, but to convince a kid to leave Hawaii, which is home, and those guys are very proud to be from there to come here, really speaks volumes. They also got a defensive back who was committed to Baylor to come, which is another high-profile kid that you could hang your hat on. Then they've also got other guys that who are under the radar where you could see, like the Melvin Johnson kid from Canyon Springs, who tripped to Weber State for some reason this weekend.
Hey, it's a trip.
Yeah.
Why not?
He's 6'5", 250, and you could tell just by looking at him that he's going to be able to put some muscle on. Not going to be ready to play next year, but you don't need him to be ready.
You need – and obviously, you know, Tony's going to go grab some junior college guys, and he's going to do what he can to win this year because he's not used to losing, but they're going to lose a lot this year. And in football in general, I think much more than basketball where you can have, you know, like UNLV's got five true freshmen that get minutes. You want to get those guys in, redshirt them for a year, and then
develop them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Tony, at least from what I've seen at Gorman, is going to make these kids stronger, make sure they know what's expected of them on every play, and he's going to definitely get them developed. Practices are, I guarantee, are going to be intense, high energy, high focus. The one commitment that I found kind of odd is they kept the Dalton Snead kid, who was Houck's lone commit, quarterback from Arizona. The kid had no other offers except for UNLV.
Well, didn't he have Pac-12 schools coming in, or at least
when
Houck was still around? You viewed him completely differently when Houck was still around.
I know.
Like,
I know.
You were pumping the kid up and like, oh, you really got to make sure he's still coming.
And
this stuff.
Maybe that was what I was getting feedback from other people.
Yeah.
But now I noticed that San Diego State's been calling the kid, which obviously is where Bobby landed. But we'll see. The kid right now, UNLV's his lone offer, but he's not going to be required to play right away. They've got Decker. They've got the kid from Oakland that was committed to North Dakota at one point. And they've got
Sherry.
No, not Sherry.
Well, then what are you?
Who's the freshman?
Oh, not Leibowitz either. Yeah, I'm blanking on his name. But they kept the red shirt on him this past year.
Which was one of the only good things Bobby did this year.
Did him a favor.
But, yeah, that was – But so I think they're going to have a little bit of a competition. Decker trying to hang on, trying to be the leader of the team. This kid from Oakland who went to Tony's JC and the freshman, you're going to have some options. And, I mean, look at Ohio State. They needed three guys to win the national championship. An injury happens to UNLV, it's the end of the world, right?
Yeah, they're definitely in the same position as Ohio State.
No, but I'm just saying it's always good to have a backup, right?
Sure.
Right.
I'll agree with that. Kevin Thompson.
Kevin Thompson, yeah. Who everybody liked.
I think so, yeah. Obviously, you knew Blake Decker was not going to be, like, handed the job by any means, and I would still be kind of surprised if he still has it.
But at least the comp, right? – I mean, the things with Decker is, A, he's older, right?
Yeah.
He might be – if you're looking for somebody just to manage the game.
Yeah, but those interceptions were the thing.
He was like, the man from the 20 to the 20. Right? It's just when he got in the 20, he threw a lot of interceptions.
He threw interceptions all over the field.
The bottom line is that I don't care who the quarterback is, the offensive line is still awful. They need guys that are going to be able to do something.
Well, we don't know what they're going to be because, I mean, you're looking at, what, three new starters at least?
Waterman, Boinko.
And I'm not sure just kind of how it ended up being because Scoggins came back in.
He was hurt the last game.
Yeah, but he came in for most of the year, and so but you're going to have a few new guys there. I think Gastrain is still around.
Yeah,
this should be his senior year.
I mean, I really think the Justin Polo kid from Silverado, he's a 3-star recruit and he's big. I think he's got a chance to compete away.
In.
Yeah.
And what about just kind of last thing on this? You know, we were expecting the Gorman connection to start sooner than later. So, you know, what can you tell us about the first kid to follow Tony over?
Nella Otukolo, a kid that came to Gorman as a junior, was instantly one of Tony's favorites. Hard hitter, high energy, a lot of emotion. 5'11", 205, a little slow, was only a 2-star kid. Tony loves
what position?
Linebacker. Tony loves him, thinks he's going to be a great player. And he thought when he was at Gorman that he was the real deal. He was the defensive player of the year locally. And listen, the UNLV defense was awful. Linebacker, they have a ton of spots. I think the kid's got a chance to be a player. Ideally, you'd want to see him redshirt, get a little faster, but it just shows that Tony has a chance with Gorman. This kid had Fresno State, Boise State, the two best teams in the league, and he chose to stay at UNLV, and he's telling everybody that more of his teammates at Gorman are going to follow suit. More importantly, this guy is well-liked at Gorman. A lot of people look up to him. And if he goes to UNLV, has some success, at least this sophomore class, which is loaded at Gorman, they've got like 11 guys with Pac-10 offers as sophomores. Maybe they could steal one of those kids.
So a good weekend for UNLV in general, and could be another one for UNLV football coming up. Meanwhile, basketball has got to get off the schneid against Reno, or Ray is just going to pull all of his hair out and just swear off the program for good. For Ray, I am Taylor. We will see what the Rebels have in store up in Reno, and then Saturday they are at home at Air Force. Hope to see you guys at one of those games. Talk to you next week.